Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the EFG Daily Commute. My name is Stephen Dutzman. I am your host. I am also the founder of EngagedFamilyGaming.com. That is a website on the internet where parents like myself and my co-hosts come together to make sure everyone has the information they need to get their family game on. Today, I want to talk about the Fortnite World Cup that took place over the weekend because it was absolutely bananas. And a 16-year-old kid is now $3 million richer as a result of playing some very good, very good Fortnite. So here's what happened. It took place in New York City at Arthur Ashe Stadium. The place was sold out. They had a marshmallow concert because, of course, they had a marshmallow concert. They had 100 competitors in singles. They also had a duos competition. And they even had a creative World Cup where they had people competing in things like Death Race and a weird like hide and seek slash red light, green light game. This was a wild experience for those that watched. And what's crazy is they sold out Arthur Ashe Stadium and everyone was watching, right? I mean, it was a crazy crowd, and one would think Fortnite is a pretty difficult game to watch. Like, it's hard for a layman to really watch that kind of game with 100 players just doing crazy stuff all over the maps. And the Fortnite crew really kind of changed the experience by putting everybody in these pods, and they all were kind of back to back, right, in this big circle. And their pods were animated based on what they were doing. Were they drinking? Were they drinking a potion? Were they looting a treasure chest? Were they getting shot at, etc.? So you could kind of see the action as it went, which is just crazy to think about. Because that's apparently that was all kind of coded into the game, and they created this stadium user interface where the audience really had a huge view of what the game was about and what was going on, even in relatively minute details, which was crazy. And that along with shoutcasters like Golden Boy, and who is a consummate professional, and the the atmosphere. I wasn't there. I'm definitely, especially if it's in the New England area, I will not miss it again. But just watching it on Twitch and kind of seeing some of the pictures coming out of the event, it was a wild experience. It feels like this might be kind of, I don't want to say it's the future of esports. That's crazy. But sports are big for entertainment because they are both, they can be watched live and they can be watched at home. And the experiences are different, but people still enjoy both of them. Now, clearly people enjoy watching esports online, right? I mean, that viewership is growing year on year. It's very consistent and it's blowing up. Right? But a lot of folks struggle to understand what esports could be in a live environment. And I think this is a really good example of how to get that done. And it's really just going to be a series of small innovations between now and the future that are going to make it that much of a bigger deal, right? I think back to the thing that I was really reminded of was, I actually recently went to, and you can see pictures from some of it on the Instagram for Engage Family Gaming. I went to a minor league baseball game, and I know this is going to be a bit of a walk, but go with me on this. So I went to a minor league baseball game. Now, I'm not a baseball guy, right? I'll play Super Mega Baseball on the Xbox, right? I mean, it's out on Switch now. I like arcade baseball games. I like the idea of baseball, right? Because I think it's a neat experience. I'm terrible at it, and I don't understand, like, the deeper meaning. But I went to a minor league baseball game. I work in downtown Hartford, literally, you know, half a mile from Dunkin' Donuts Park, which is where the Yard Goats play. So we went to go to this minor league game. and I was not expecting to enjoy myself. I mean, I was going to go and, you know, kind of people watch, and it turns out that they did a really good job of making every little thing that they could engaging. For example, you know, and this is a baseball thing in general, right? Like, everybody, when they walk up, they have, when they walk up to bat, they have a walk-up song, and the big board shows what they look like and, you know, some of their stats, but also fun facts about them. And, you know, in between innings, when they bring out the rakes and they fix the, you know, the clay or the dirt or whatever that they run on in between bases, you know, the guys do a little dance. Or, you know, every little thing, you know, like when they bring the umpires water, there's like a big ceremony that goes along with that, music that plays. And they, what they did is they made every small detail engaging. And I think esports could learn from that, right? Like, and it looks like Fortnite did. They made it the act of drinking a shield potion. Not only is that interesting from a game perspective, but it's also engaging, right? You know, you've got somebody's little pod kind of popping off because they're drinking a potion that'll give them shields. Making that visually interesting, especially when there's 100 players, and just the act of 100 players running around doing different things at different times kind of makes it visually interesting, even though if you were really trying to pay attention, especially in the early to mid-game in Fortnite, there's so much going on, it's almost like static, but just because there's so much going on, it's kind of cool. But also, like, that's if you're trying to pay attention to the whole field. But if you're only trying to pay attention to one guy, you know exactly what's happening to them, which is super neat. And it's kind of the same thing with minor league baseball, and I'm sure it's the same way with major league baseball as well, right? Like, they provide a lot of detail so that you can really kind of get engaged, even if you have no idea who these players are. You know, I don't follow minor league baseball. They're not my guys. But I really did appreciate the, you know, what they did and how they set it up. Now, so that's just the event itself. I mean, they sold out Arthur Ashe Stadium. Admittedly, you know, that's not Cowboys Stadium or anything crazy like that, but it is still impressive. And they really built up that facility with a really cool set. The production was off the charts. This is hopefully not the last Fortnite World Cup, because I can't wait to see what they do next year. But I think one conversation popped up on a few feeds that I was in, that I am involved in, where people were kind of sharing the news of the winner, who is a 16-year-old kid. And he won $3 million. And, you know, some of the folks that are kind of pro games, like myself and Marcia Morgan, she's the Mommy Gamers on Facebook and on Twitch. You know, we were saying, wow, you know, like, how about this? You know, video games aren't a waste of time, right? You know, this is for everybody that told their kid who was really good to stop. And she actually shared on the Mommy Gamer's Facebook page that his mom was there when he won his $3 million, and she admitted that she was frustrated because she thought he was playing too much Fortnite, and she actually broke his headset at one point and took away his Xbox. And I think we are... And so she shared that and got a lot of pushback from folks on her feed, and I saw some of these similar discussions elsewhere, and I wanted to kind of address some of those things. The first one, and this is the thing that I saw all over the place from non-gaming, like the non-gaming sphere, is the, no, we shouldn't learn anything from this for our kids, because this kid winning is like winning the lottery. And that's not true. Number one, the odds of winning the lottery are far longer than the odds of being able to compete in a tournament like this. if for not, and it's even more so because we get to self-select. And here's what that means. The lottery, anyone can participate. And you don't know what your chances are when you are playing the game, right? You know, especially if you watch your kid play, you know if they're good or not, right? You know if they're improving. Video games are really good at providing feedback about how good are you, right? If you're a Madden player, you go online and you just curb stomp everybody. You're just going crazy and winning all your games and you're playing online. That means you're good. Like, empirically, like, there is no doubt about that. And maybe you're playing a small, you know, playing a small pool or whatever, right? Like, but if you are winning games in video games, then you are good at them. Same thing with Fortnite. It's a similar situation. If you keep getting victory royales and you are, you know, you win, if you win a lot, right? Like, you're competing against other players. That means you're good. And so, you know, there are, like, I am terrible at Fortnite. I would never compete in any of these competitions. I would never decide to train for one of these competitions because I know I could not win, right? I'm just not good enough. But there are other people that are on that brink, right? That could be good enough. And those folks are the ones that can make the decision. I liken it to kids who play, you know, that are younger, that start training for things like professional basketball or baseball or football, right? There are some kids that are just so good that they know, right? Like, you just know. There are scouts. There are coaches that will tell you, look, your kid, if they get the right training, they could be a professional athlete. And in that situation, right, a lot of parents, maybe not everyone, but in that situation, if a parent was at a kid at their kid's little league game and a talent scout came up or something and said, listen, your kid's really good, you should probably send them to some camps or whatever, give them a chance because they might be able to play professionally, we would do it, right? Most parents would do that. And that happens with a lot of professional athletes. They get identified as talented early on, and then they are given training and advantages. This would happen similarly with video games if we took it seriously. So you definitely, it's not luck. You know, I'm sure that there's some luck in it, right? I mean, that's just the nature of games, sports also. But this isn't a luck situation. These are players who identified themselves as good, who were identified as good. They were given feedback by the game that they were good. And they started training and practicing. And yeah, I know a lot of folks might think, oh, well, they were just playing video games a lot. I mean, the reality is, if you're competing for $3 million, if I were competing for $3 million, I would sure as heck put in a bunch of practice also. There is a lot that goes into, you know, learning how to get better at these games. And this kid learned the game and plays it on a different level than all our kids do. And he won $3 million for it. So that's the first step. I really think we have to dispel this myth that this was about luck. Obviously, luck played a part in it, so don't at me about, oh, well, you know, RNG in Fortnite, and yeah, you're right, I guess. You know, if you're not familiar, our RNG is random number generator. Basically, it's a term for the fact that there is some randomness in games. So, right, I mean, he went and landed at a place, probably some good guns, right? Like, this is, luck certainly played a part in some of it. However, he didn't buy a ticket and then just get picked randomly out of a hat. He trained, he entered a tournament with 100 of the best Fortnite players in the world, And he beat 99 of them over a grueling six-round tournament. I mean, he earned that win. So let's not call it luck. The second piece, and I think this is a big one, is, you know, the point that Marcia made, and I agree with her, is that what this is a dream, right? And there's value in that. There are plenty of kids that say, I want to be a quarterback in the NFL. Now, those of us who know how things work know that the likelihood of a kid being a starting quarterback in the NFL is astronomical. There are millions of kids that play football. And at the end of the day, there are 64 quarterbacks in the NFL, 32 starters, 32 backups. That is 64 quarterbacks on 64 people on earth get to be NFL quarterbacks. And so those are very long odds, but we don't say, you know what? No, you're not going to do that. So that means you shouldn't play football in high school. That means you shouldn't try and play, you know, AAA football for, you know, a small college. We would never say that. Most people wouldn't, because the likelihood of being a professional football player is small. So yeah, the likelihood of making millions of dollars playing esports is not very high. But that doesn't mean we should actively discourage kids from having that dream. There's value in dreams. There's value in having a goal. Now, do I think that we should, you know, foster unrealistic expectations and let our kids play Fortnite for 13 hours a day and skip school so they can get better for a tournament that they might not participate in? No, of course not. However, I think that there is value in talking to our kids and treating their goals as, you know, as something worth talking about, right? Like, you know what else is super really hard is being an astronaut. But we don't tell kids, no, you can't be an astronaut. Because, you know, the likelihood of being an astronaut is even smaller than being a professional quarterback. But we don't tell them not to do that. Because, you know, so I think that there's value in dreams. And this kid winning $3 million, right? Like, Jacob's at summer camp right now. So he missed all that. But I absolutely intend to sit down with him and watch some of these games when he comes home. So I want to talk to him about, you know, like, what does he think, right? Like, is that something he wants to do? Not because I want him to drop everything, but because it's, you know, like I said, dreams are valuable. And this kid, this 16-year-old kid, won $3 million and just ignited the dreams of a whole lot of kids. And I think that's cool. There's a lack of that now. A lot of people are so trapped in harsh realities, which are all around us, right? With, you know, the state of the world, etc. That I think, you know, one kid winning a game of Fortnite and winning himself some money maybe could give, you know, just give some kids that dream. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts. This is a little bit of a longer episode, a little bit of a ramble, because I really kind of felt a certain kind of way listening to people kind of talk about the experience they had, or like their feelings, rather, about, you know, a 16-year-old kid winning and being a millionaire. So I'd love to hear your thoughts. Are your kids going pro? Are you going pro? I don't know. Let me know. I would absolutely love to hear your thoughts. So I will be back next time. And until then, don't forget to get your family game on. We'll talk to you soon. Bye now.